I want to look now at the responsorial psalm, but I'm going to look at more of it than we actually have for the liturgy. This psalm is the Christmas psalm. It's about the ideal king, and he's taking care of the poor. He's doing all the things I think I mentioned before. In the ancient Near East, the primary job of a king was to take care of those who couldn't take care of themselves. The widow, the orphan, and the poor man. There was no police force, but if I was rich and I had 8 or 10 brothers, nobody's going to mess with me. But if I'm poor and I'm all alone in this country, everybody will mess with me. But the king will protect me. You see then when we call God our king, what we're saying? We're saying, I got nobody else, but you'll help me. So, this psalm is, in the tradition, is attributable to Solomon. And so it goes, O God, give your judgment to the king, and your justification to the son of the king. How do they translate that? Judgment and justice, okay. Justice. You see, what they're praying for, and this is Jesus, remember. Here he is. And the very tzedek, the very justice of God, abides in him. Now, what is justice? Justice is honoring the truth of every relationship. I think I've said this before, but it's important. Tzedek. One of the phrases they use from that root, tzedek, means salvation. It doesn't mean salvation, but it's applied. In other words, God's tzedakot, God's just acts, are his saving acts. Why? Because he promised to save us. So now, to act on the truth of the relationship, he's got to save us. He promised. And God, if he's just, is going to live out his promise. So, we have here now this judgment and justice, huh? To the son of the king, that he may govern your people with justice and your oppressed. Right away, we have the Anavim B'Mishpat, okay? I want to go over this because this is a portrait of Jesus, huh? It says, you see, he will judge your people with tzedek, honoring the truth of every relationship. John Paul II makes an interesting remark when he's discussing the prodigal son. It's in the letter on the Sacrament of Reconciliation. He said the father going out and embracing his son is only being just, because that's the truth of the relationship. That's his son. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you see how if we can mediate these ideas now to God's people, change their minds? Because you see, for many of those people, they're not quite sure whether Bultmann is right. The continuum of historical happenings cannot be rent by the interference of supernatural transcendent powers, and that therefore there is no miracle in this sense of the term. That means there's no transcendent God. Well, then who's being faithful to his promises? Do you see how important this is? And it's so important, you see, that we have to help our people, guide our people to experience this, to know for themselves that God loves them. And so, the Lord shines and over you he appears in glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. You notice the same theme as we had in Isaiah 60. You know, kumi, ori, rise up, shine. Now we have it again. It's the epiphania. It's the radiance. Who saw it? Simeon, Mary. They saw the radiance. They saw the kavod. You see? Okay. He will judge your poor, and he will help those who are oppressed. You see? And then it says, you see, your son shall come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. If I'm not mistaken, that's the line. No, I guess it's not. It's one of the lines. Therese, one of a turning point in her life, with one of these prophecies from Isaiah, you'll be carried at the breast, you'll be nursed, you'll be... And that was a turning point in her life. Why? Because she's a theologian. She gets it from the Old Testament. She sees what it's talking about. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. It will be beautiful. Now, when? Now. You see, the new Jerusalem is the church. It doesn't destroy the old. You see, it fulfills the old, brings it along. But the church is the place where God's radiance shines. And you know, just sit still and think for a while. Go over Padre Pio, John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and you'll see how radiant the church is. Now, we're kind of Sunday golfers, but it'd be nice if we shone a bit too and help people. Right now, again, as I say, in this time when people are being evicted and losing their jobs and don't have any money and getting sick, a man unable to support his family, what's he going to do all day? Sit around and smoke and get sick. How are we going to change this? How are we going to bring hope? You see, there is a light, and this light in the depth doesn't fulfill the other lights, but it brings them to a deeper place. Jesus himself, you see? And so, caravans of camels shall fill you, and so forth. And then we're down here now. Justice will flourish in your day and fullness of peace until the moon is no more. Why justice? You can answer that yourself, can't you? No? Tzadik or Tzedek. It's the truth of every relationship. For instance, Abraham. He believed God, and that was credited to him, the tzedakah. That was credited to him as justice. That's the right way, the truth way, to relate to God. Is to the verb to believe. You could translate makes God firm. It means I lean so far over on God that if He doesn't come through, I fall flat on my face. That's faith. And that's the honoring the truth of the relationship to God. And the result? Enlightenment. You don't lean on God and stay in total darkness unless you're going through the dark night of the soul. You're enlightened. You're strengthened. You're helped. And so this is what he's saying here, you see? And then it goes on, may he rule from sea to sea, from the river, that's the Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. May his foes kneel before him, his enemies lick the dust. May all kings bow before him, for he rescues the poor. This is why. Because he's so powerful? He's got 20 guys with machine guns around him? No. Even if he does. You see? It's because he rescues the poor when they cry out. The oppressed who have no one to help. And we have all these magic words again there. The Evyon, the Evyonim. Evyon means poor, weak, no food. And he rescues them. from extortion and violence, he frees them. That's what always happens to the poor. That's what always happens to the poor. I've lived and worked with them, especially up in Canada, out in the bush. Extortion and violence. They can't fight back. Long may he live, receiving gold from Arabia, be prayed for without cease, blessed day by day. If everybody knew who Jesus was, they would bless his name day and night. They would bless his name day and night. May wheat abound in the land, even on the mountain heights. May his fruit increase like Lebanon's, his wheat like the grasses. You see the image? Abundance, abundance. Because the king is here. And the king is the Son of God. He's here. May the tribes of the earth give blessings with his name. May you be as blessed. May you be blessed with the blessing of Jesus. When I lived in Jerusalem, sometimes devout Muslims would come to me and say, Abuna, Father, will you pray over me? I'd say, yeah. These are the real Muslims who love Allah, you know, are loyal to Muhammad and so forth. But I'd say, I'm going to pray to Jesus when I pray with you. Is that all right? Oh, that's all right. He's a great prophet. He's a holy man. They know that much. Okay. And so now it ends. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wonderful deeds. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May all the earth be filled with the Lord's glory, the kavod of the Lord. Amen, amen. And that ends this psalm. As I say, in the liturgy, they take snippets of it. Now, for just a few minutes, I want to look at this Ephesians text, which is also a text of Revelation. I, Paul, prisoner of Christ, for you Gentiles, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery, the plan of God, has been revealed. The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly early. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? It's the whole plan of God for the whole universe. That's what it is. It's the plan of God. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our brother. I live, now not I. Christ lives in me. Christ suffers in me. Christ prays in me. Augustine has beautiful lines on this. And this was not known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. These are the prophets of the New Testament, by the Spirit. That the Gentiles are co-heirs. That's the mystery. That's what we celebrate with the Magi coming. And now, the Gentiles, they're streaming in. Some of them are risking their lives if they're living over in Iraq and Iran, but they're streaming in, the Gentiles, members of the same body and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus. And that punchline sums up everything that we've been listening to and reading up to this point.